All right, so I want to start out our time with a quick story of one of my most embarrassing moments, of which I have plenty. All right, I was in college at the time, and I was leading worship for my campus fellowship, AACF, at USC. Karen was there with me, but I think you might have already graduated. But as a typical college student, I was a major, major procrastinator. And so as usual, on this Thursday night, I'm frantically typing out the PowerPoint lyrics to the worship song minutes before our large group session. Okay, internet wasn't as good back then, so I'm just throwing stuff down from memory. And so the night starts, and I'm leading worship, right? Playing the keyboard, and we're singing this one song titled Who Am I by Casting Crowns. You guys know that song? Okay, it's an older song, but it's a good song. It's a great song about our identity in Christ. And there's a part of the song that goes like this. It says, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. All right, beautiful lyrics about how it's all about Christ, not about us. Well, we get to this section, I'm leading or singing, and all of a sudden it gets kind of quiet. And I wonder what's going on. And so I look back at the screen. Guys, this is so bad, okay? Somehow, I swished around the pronouns so that it said, not because of who you are, but because of what I've done. Not because of what you've done, but because of who I am. I don't even know how that happened. Right, you talk about the worst typo you can ever have. Okay, that's straight up heresy. And now that I've shared that with you, I know all my credibility as a pastor has just gone out the window. Okay, so it was one of those want-to-get-away moments. I didn't know what to do. Do I just stop? Do I just step down? I was actually the president of the club at that time, so I just tried to ignore it, and I sang really, really loud and just kept going, right? And the worst part about it is I copied and pasted the slide again and again, so it kept coming back every time we sang the chorus, okay? All right. Well, today, I want to talk about identity. All right, when Mel asked me to speak, I asked her, what do you want me to speak on? She said, I don't know, something on the gospel, right? And that's kind of a big topic. And so when I took time to think about what it is that I want to encourage you as moms of young babies and toddlers, it is that you would find your identity in Christ and in what he has done for you, right? I'm not a mom, obviously, but as I have had the chance to observe not only Mel, but many of you moms in this season of having babies and toddlers, I think there is so much for you to do, right? And so much to get done. I really think that you moms have superpowers, okay? You can be cooking a meal, holding your infant, having a conversation with your toddler, while doing the laundry, listening to a podcast. Okay, again, I don't know how you do it. Mel can juggle four or five things at the same time. I can only do one thing at one time. But as parents of young kids, we're so focused on all the things that we have to do and all the things that we have to get done that we can actually start to believe this, right? That what makes us who we are is what we do and what we've done. Our hearts can start to believe that our worth and our value rests upon our achievement and our performance as moms and dads. And as we forget our identity in Christ, we can start to lose ourselves, right? And our sense of who we really are. And so this evening and just the second week of Lamplighters, as we kick off this semester, I just want to encourage you, if you are in Christ, you are not what you do. Right. You are not your successes. You are not your failures. You are a redeemed saint. Right. You are a daughter of the Most High. You are completely loved and worthy and justified, not because of what you've done, but because of Christ and what he has done. Right. You are not who others say that you are. Right. You are not even who you yourself say that you are. You are who God says that you are. And that is forgiven, cherished, redeemed, completely known and loved by the creator of the universe. All right, in the time that we have today, and I'm going to try to keep this as a sermonette, okay, not a full sermon. I'll try to keep it short. But today, I want us to explore this simple question. What does it mean to remember your identity in Christ and keep the gospel central in this season of motherhood? All right. In other words, as you care for your kids, as you feed them, help them nap, drive them around, talk to them, teach them, hold them, bathe them, listen to them, cook for them, think about them, clean up after them, take pictures of them, watch them, worry about them, cheer for them, pray for them. In this life season where so much of your world is centered around your kids, how can you keep your gaze and your focus upwards instead of downwards, literally, right? How can your heart be anchored and centered on the solid, unchanging rock of Christ instead of the ever-changing circumstances around you or the ever-changing emotions and feelings inside of you? Or think about this. When you ask yourself the question, am I a good mom? And I'm sure you ask that question to yourself every day. Where does your mind run to? Right? What thoughts or justifications or excuses or reasonings does your mind generate as you think about your worth and your performance? Right? As you compare yourself to others, as you compare yourself even to your own moms, what do you do with those thoughts and feelings? Right? All of us do this in our own ways, in our own context. Right? When we are faced with our limitations and weaknesses and failures, there is an internal need in our hearts to find ways to resolve and answer those thoughts, right? To make ourselves feel better and feel justified before ourselves and others, right? For you in this season, you could do this by filling in the blank, right? I am a good mom because whatever it is. You might even tell others, you can be a good mom if you fill in the blank, right? These are the questions that I want us to explore today on our own, in your small groups, even together, perhaps with your husband as you leave tonight. What does it mean to remember your identity in Christ and keep the gospel central in this season of motherhood? Right, there are many ways that we can stray from the gospel. Okay, but today I just want to talk about two main ways that I call performing and pretending. Okay, performing and pretending. Mel and I, we went to a high school in San Francisco called Lowell High School. All right, you might have heard about it. Basically, it was like 2,500 Chinese American and some Caucasian students pushing themselves to the limit. Okay, and when we were there, it was all about how many AP classes you are taking, what colleges you were applying to, how many extracurriculars and clubs you were involved with, right? All of that, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. It's only gotten crazier. And last year, 2021, they came out with a documentary, and we actually haven't seen it, but we already have an idea of what it's about. And it's literally called Try Harder, okay? Because that's really what the culture was, right? Just grind it out, right? Pull all-nighters, take caffeine pills, even find ways to cheat, do whatever has to be done to achieve and perform. But as many of us have experienced personally, just trying harder simply does not work. Right? It does not fulfill you. It does not give you peace or joy or a sense of lasting worth. There's always someone better, right? Someone more, this or that. And even our world has recognized that. Right? And so what is the response of our culture in the last 20 years? Is let it go, right? Let it go. Every show, every movie that I watch nowadays with my kids, the main message, right, is all about just be yourself. Don't worry about competing with others. Don't worry about what others think. Just live your life. Love yourself. Be who you are. You are enough, right? That's our culture's response to the performing nature of our hearts. And I don't know if you know you're similar to Mel and I, but you know, we grew up with immigrant parents, okay, who were in survival mode, trying to put food on the table. So when I see this let it go, Hakuna Matata attitude in my kids and in this younger generation, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, are you serious, right? Like, your grandfather mowed lawns for $3 an hour, right? Your other grandfather came over to the U.S. on a boat, right? So you better work hard, right? You better appreciate what you have and the sacrifices that they made. Right? This is me in my soapbox, right? Supposedly, this is a common thing between, like, second and third generation parents, okay? Or just second and third generations. Right? You guys don't even know how good you have it. But I share that to demonstrate what my heart is tempted to do, which is to swing back to the try harder, right, performing response. Another way to say it, right, the performing tendency is to prove yourself, right? as a mom, you have to do this and this and this and this, and this is what it means to be a good mom. And then the pretending tendency, you are enough. You don't have to prove it. Doesn't matter what you do. Do whatever you want. You're a good mom just because you are. And doesn't matter what anyone else says. Right? Even when I was Googling this quote, prove yourself, interestingly, all the things that came up were things like this. Right? You alone are enough. You have nothing to prove to anybody. Right? Maya Angelou, who is an amazing writer, poet, truly inspirational character, but in this case, not a good theologian. Okay? Because just as the try harder performing response to our identity does not solve the human longing for justification and validation, this let it go and you are enough pretending response also does not work, and it's not true. We all know deep down in our hearts, we are not enough. When we clearly see ourselves and our weaknesses and our limitations and even our sins and our failures, there is a longing to be justified and to be validated and to be loved and accepted. Emily Jensen and Laura Wiffler in their book Risen Motherhood says it this way. Sometimes our response to not enough feelings in motherhood is to brush off our guilt instead of looking beneath it. Influencers, authors, and even our own friends and family tell us that simply because we are our children's loving moms, we are enough. Our well-intentioned efforts are all that's needed. We should stop worrying about the nagging guilt and create the life we want. But deep down, we still have this lurking feeling that we're missing the mark and that we don't know how to cope with it. So we joke and eye roll about our child's behavior. We post our mom fails to social media. We let the mess be messy without bothering to clean it up. We tease the moms who seem more balanced or accomplished. When in doubt, we carve out more me time or escape into exercise, food, work, or social media. We lower the bar until our guilt is quieted. Right, this is the world's response to the performing try harder, which is pretending. Right, we're all messed up, so it's okay, we can all be messed up together. And so we constantly go back and forth between performing, pretending, as we try to find our identity in all these different things. In theology, we have two terms that describes this performing and pretending tendencies: legalism and licentiousness. Okay. Legalism says, I need to try harder to prove myself. All right, I am enough because I've done this and this and this. I am who others say I am. I live under the law and I seek to justify self. Licentiousness says, I don't need to try at all to prove myself. Right? I am enough just because. I am who I say I am. Who cares about the law and God's commandments? I reject justifying self. And yet both are self-centered approaches to dealing with this topic of identity and validation. Well, what is God's response to our predicament? Right? How does God's word speak to our heart's longing for and desire for worth and validation? It can't get any clearer than how the Apostle Paul describes it in Philippians 3, verse 9. He says this, and be found in him, Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own, right, performing, that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, right? You and I are not enough, but you know who is? Jesus. Right? We are not enough. We will never be enough. But Christ is more than enough for us. Right? You and I, we can't justify ourselves. That's why we needed Christ to justify us. Galatians 2:16 says it this way. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, again, performing, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Right? And so you and I, we don't have to constantly try to prove ourselves again and again, right? As a mom, you don't have to prove yourself in the successes of your children, right? Not because we are enough, but because Christ has already proved it all. So take time to pause and reflect on this truth. You are perfect in Christ. Right? You are perfect in Christ. You are 100% righteous in Christ. There is absolutely no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ. Right, we can go back to this comparison of legalism and licentiousness and add this third column of gospel-centeredness. It is, I can joyfully and freely work hard because Christ proved it all. Right, I am not enough, but Christ is enough. I am who God says I am. Christ fulfilled the law for me, and I am justified in Christ. All right, so this is what it means to find your identity in Christ, right? To find your validation in Christ. It's not about performing or pretending, but perfection in Christ. All right, to help explore this topic further, I just wanted to show you this diagram. Okay, I'm a visual learner, so I like pictures and graphs. But this graphic shows that as we mature in the Christian faith, we should grow in our awareness of God's holiness and how he has called us to live. And at the same time, it shows how as we mature in the Christian faith, we should grow in our awareness of our sinfulness, right? Our weaknesses, how we fall short and miss the mark. And I want to be clear, it's not that God is becoming more holy or that I am becoming more sinful, but my awareness of both is growing, right? I am increasingly seeing God as he actually is and myself as I actually am. And the main point of this graphic is to illustrate what it means to grow in gospel-centeredness, right? In loving Jesus more, in trusting Jesus more, in realizing our need for Jesus more and more, right? And as we understand our sin and God's holiness more and more, our appreciation and love for Christ should also grow more and more, right? As you think about his sacrifice, his righteousness, his gracious work on our behalf, right, that should become sweeter and more powerful to us. The cross should loom larger and be more central in our lives as we rejoice in what Christ has done to bridge this gap. If we were to personalize this graph, again, I purposely used some more feminine colors for you guys. But if we were to personalize this graph for moms, okay, it might look something like this. Okay? All right? You might be growing in your understanding of God's calling of you as a mom, right? What it means to shepherd your child in Christ's likeness, what it means to disciple your kids in humility and forgiveness and patience, right? These are all things that God calls us to do as parents, right? But at the same time, if you haven't realized it already, you will quickly realize that you're going to fail, right? You will mess up again and again, right? You'll get angry at your kids. You'll get impatient, frustrated. There might be even moments when you think, am I doing more good or more harm? And so here's the key question. In those moments, where do you go for help? Where does your mind run to for hope, for direction, for motivation? Is it try harder or let it go? Right? Is it perform or pretend? Or will you cling to the cross? This next slide shows visually what happens when we perform and pretend. Okay, when we try to bridge this gap on our own, okay, of God's holiness and our sinfulness. When we try to, again, bridge this gap, not with the cross, but with our own righteousness or works on the top, or with our own reasonings and excuses on the bottom. And as a consequence, we shrink the importance and the significance and our need for the cross in our lives. Right? Again, we can rehearse these performance truths, right? Look at all the good that I've done. I can try harder. Well, at least I'm better than others. Or we can rehearse these pretending truths, right? I'm not that bad. I'm not really that way. Well, everyone else is just like this. Right? So ask yourself, as a mom, what are the ways that you seek to justify yourself in your performance? in what you do and in what you don't do? And as a mom, what are the ways that you seek to minimize your sin and your failures and make yourself feel better just by ignoring the ways that you fall short? Right, I believe for many of us, myself included, the reason why we don't love and cherish the gospel as much as we should is because we've replaced it. Right? We've exchanged it. We've substituted it with all of these other types of righteousness. And I know this could be a lot, okay? But I think it might be helpful to work through, especially for your discussion later. These are just some different examples of false sources of righteousness that we might pride ourselves in. Okay, hard work righteousness, right? I try my best at parenting. Family righteousness, right? My kids are well behaved. Theological righteousness, I teach my kids good theology. Schedule righteousness, I manage my time wisely. Or the opposite, flexibility righteousness. Well, I'm flexible and relaxed. Mercy righteousness, I care about the poor and the needy. Legalistic righteousness, right? I don't drink or smoke or watch this or that. Financial righteousness, I live within my means, right? No debt. Political righteousness, I voted for so-and-so. Tolerance righteousness, I am open-minded. And you might be wondering, aren't these things good things? And yes, in and of itself, all these things are good things, things that we can pursue. But when we start to pride ourselves in these things, and even compare ourselves to others as a way to elevate ourselves and put others down, that's when it becomes a false source of righteousness, right? The dot, dot, dot represents what we fill in the blank with, right? I try my best at parenting, unlike that so-and-so, right? My kids are well-behaved, oh, more well-behaved than that person, right? And on and on. In other words, we use these things to prove to ourselves how we are so much better than those around us, right? This was the problem of the Pharisees. They took these good things to pursue, and they made it about themselves. Right, we call that self-righteousness. Right, even in this room, if we wanted to make it real, okay? Homemakers in here can look at the moms who work and be like, what are they doing? The moms who work can look back at the homemakers and be like, what are they doing? Homeschool, private school, public school, which one is better? Right, breastfeeding, formula, epidural, no epidural, sleep training, no sleep training. I'm not a mom, okay, but I'm a family pastor, okay? I've been thinking about this stuff a lot, okay? Because Mel thinks about it a lot, and, you know, again. Our sinful, self-righteous hearts can take so many of these things and make it a false source of righteousness. And again, in so doing, we shrink the cross and minimize the gospel. All right, to be clear, I'm not saying we can't talk about these things. I think we should talk about it. We should have good discussions about it. And I think you guys will have good discussions about it in the coming weeks. That will touch upon a lot of these things. But the question we have to always ask ourselves is, where do we go to find our justification, our source of righteousness, our validation, and our worth? Will you again and again go to Jesus, right? Remind yourself of who you are, what he has done for you, and as your heart is transformed and renewed, you can repent of your sin and rejoice in the forgiveness and redemption that you have in Christ. Right? That is how you can grow daily, weekly, monthly, your love for Christ, by repenting of your sin and rejoicing in the forgiveness and redemption that you have in him. And with that, you can move forward freely, joyfully, thankfully, victoriously. We want to proclaim these words, right? The first verse of the Solid Rock hymn. That my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Or like the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, he says this, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Okay. We covered a lot today, okay? But I thought to end our time by reminding you simply of who you are in Christ. I think it is possible that many of us resort to performing or pretending because we have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten who we are when we were saved. So I'm going to read this to you, and I hope you can just meditate on it, cherish it, reflect on it, and allow that to fuel your faith. You are a child of God. You have peace with God through the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. You have access to God's wisdom. You are reconciled to God. You are not condemned by God, but you have been justified by God. You are Christ's ambassador. You are a sweet fragrance to God, blameless and beyond reproach. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are united to the Lord, a member of the body of Christ. You are a saint, chosen by God. You are a child of light. You share in God's heavenly calling. You are a royal priesthood. You are firmly rooted and built up in Christ. You can approach the throne with boldness. You have been transferred into the kingdom of God. You are a new creation, and you have been made complete in Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray this evening for all of the moms in here, that they would understand more and more what it means to find their identity, not in themselves, not in their works, what they do or don't do, but ultimately in you and what you have done for them. I pray in moments where they are tempted to either perform or pretend, that you would allow them to remember who they are and to understand that you have proved it all. You've done it all. You've accomplished everything for them. And because of that, they are free. They are victorious. They are completely righteous to love, to care, to live in a way that truly is gospel-centered. We give you thanks, God, for doing what we could not do on our own, for living the perfect life we could never live, for dying on the cross in our place, for resurrecting from the dead, for conquering sin, death, and all the things that we are can be in bondage to. We give you thanks and praise for tonight, for being able to be together, to walk this journey with other sisters, other moms, to encourage each other, to point each other to you. In Christ's name we pray.